What's the plan?
I'm working on it.
Finally, Utgard Loki made a cut it gesture with his finger across his throat. Not my favorite gesture. The music shut off again. The giant settled down.
Magnus Chase, we've been expecting you,
Utgard Loki grinned.
As for your friends, they're not captives. I was merely lifting them up so they could see that you've arrived. I'm sure they are delighted.
Sam did not look delighted. She twisted her shoulders, trying to break free. Her expression suggested she wanted to kill everyone wearing a bowling shirt and perhaps several people who were not. As for Hearth, I knew how much he hated having his hands pinned down. He couldn't communicate, couldn't do magic. The cold fury in his eyes reminded me of his father, Mr. Alderman, and that was not a similarity I enjoyed seeing. Put them down now, I said, if they're really not captives.
As you wish.
Utgard Loki set Sam and Hearth on the table, where they stood about as tall as the giant's mead cup.
We've made them quite comfortable while we waited for you to arrive. Tiny mentioned that you would bring his bowling bag no later than this morning. I was beginning to think you wouldn't make it.
The way he phrased that made it seem like this was a hostage exchange. A cold, heavy feeling settled in my gut. I wondered what would have happened to Sam and Hearth if we'd failed to show up with the bag. We'd kept them waiting, trapped here for 24 hours, probably wondering if we were even still alive. We've got the bag, I said. No worries. I nudged Blitzen.
Right!
Blitz stepped forward and raised his creation.
Behold, empty leather, soon to be famous among bowling bags, completed by Blitzen of Freya, and Jack helped.
Our old friend Tiny muscled his way through the crowd. Mead stains speckled his gray shirt. His grizzled man bun had unraveled. Just like he'd warned us, compared to the other giants in the room, he actually did look tiny.
What did you do to my bag? He cried. Did you wash it on regular cycle? It's minuscule.
Like you,
another giant cat called.
Shut up, Hugo,
Tiny yelled.
Not to fear,
Blitzen promised, his voice demonstrating what fear sounded like. I can return the bag to its normal size, but first, I want assurances from your king that we have guest rights. The three of us and our two friends on the table.
Utgard Loki chuckled.
Well, Tiny, it seems like they did what you asked. They brought your bag.
Tiny gestured helplessly to his new extra-small carry case.
But...
Tiny,
the king said, his tone hardening. Tiny glared at us. He did not look quite so easygoing now.
Yes, he said through gritted teeth. They have kept their part of the bargain. I vouch for them. In a very, very small way. There you have it,
Utgard Loki beamed.
You are all officially guests in my bowling alley.
He plucked up Sam and Hearth and set them on the floor. Thankfully, the Skofnung sword and stone were still strapped across Sam's back. The king turned to address the assembled giants.
My friends! If we entertain these guests in our present size, we'll get eye strain trying to avoid stepping on them. We'll have to serve them food with tweezers and fill their tiny drinking glasses with eyedroppers. That's no fun. Let's take this party down a few notches, eh?
The giants grumbled and muttered, but nobody seemed anxious to contradict the king. Utgard Loki snapped his fingers. The room spun. My stomach churned from disorientation. The bowling alley shrank from colossal to merely huge. The giants now averaged about 7 feet tall. I could look at them without craning my neck or peering up their cavernous nostrils. Samira and Hearthstone hurried over to join us. You okay? Blitz signed to Hearth. Where were you? Hearth asked. Samira gave me a pained, I will kill you later smile. I thought you were dead. Also, what happened to your hair? Long story, I told her. Yeah, sorry we're late, Alex said. Her apology surprised me more than anything so far today. What did we miss? Sam stared at her like, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. I couldn't imagine that her story was any weirder than ours. But before we could compare notes, Tiny stumbled toward Blitzen. The giant grabbed his bowling bag, which was now just about the right size for him. He zipped it open and breathed a sigh of relief.
Thank goodness. Elvis!
He pulled out his bowling ball and examined it for damage.
Airbrushed across the surface was a 1970s Elvis Presley in his white rhinestone jumpsuit.
Oh, did they hurt you, baby?
Tiny kissed the ball and hugged it to his chest. He scowled at Blitzen.
You're lucky you didn't harm Elvis, little dwarf.
I have no interest in harming Elvis. Blitzen swiped the now empty bag out of Tiny's hands. But I'm keeping empty leather for insurance. You can have it back when we leave here unharmed. If you try anything, I should warn you, the bag only changes sizes with the word of command, and you'll never guess it on your own.
What? Tiny shrieked. Is it Presley?
No.
Is it Graceland?
No.
Friends, friends!
Utgard Loki walked toward us with his arms extended.
This is tournament day. We have special guests. Let's not quibble. Let us feast and compete. Start the music. Drinks for everyone.
Little Red Corvette blasted over the speakers. Most of the giants dispersed, going back to their mead swilling or their bowling or their Ms. Not-Quite-So-Large Pac-Man. Some of the Jotuns, especially those in gray shirts like Tiny's, looked like they wanted to kill us, guest rights or no. But it took comfort in knowing we had a doomsday option. If worst came to worst, we could always shout password and destroy the entire building in an avalanche of fine dwarven embroidered leather. Utgard Loki patted Tiny on the back.
That's right. Go have a Jotun juice.
Tiny cradled Elvis and headed for the bar, glowering at us over his shoulder. Utgard Loki, I said. We need information.
Not now, you idiot.
He maintained his grin, but his tone was a desperate snarl.
Look happy. Look like we're just joking around.
What?
Good one, shouted the Giant King. Ha ha ha!
My friends tried to get into the act. Yeah, ha ha, Sam said. Blitzen let out a good dwarvish belly laugh.
Hilarious,
Alex volunteered. H-A-H-A, Hearth signed. Utgard Loki kept smiling at me, but his eyes were as sharp as daggers.
No giant here wants to help you except me, he said under his breath. If you don't prove yourself worthy, you'll never leave this bowling alley alive.
What? Blitzen hissed. You promised guest rights. You're the king.
And I've used every last bit of my influence and credibility trying to help you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it this far alive.
Help us, I said. By killing our goat? And infiltrating Valhalla, Sam added, and possessing an innocent flight instructor?
All to dissuade you bungling mortals from falling into Loki's trap, which so far you've managed to do anyway.
He turned his head and shouted for the onlookers.
Well boasted, little mortal, but you will never beat the giants.
He lowered his voice again.
Not everyone here thinks Loki needs to be stopped. I'll tell you what you need to know to thwart him, but you'll have to play along. If you don't prove your worth and earn the respect of my followers, I'll be ousted, and one of these morons will become the new king. Then we're all dead.
Alex scanned the crowd as if trying to decide which moron to garrote first. Look, your feathery majesty, you could have just sent us this important information in a text or a phone call days ago. Why all the cloak and dagger and the inflatable Godzilla? Utgard Loki wrinkled his nose at her.
I could not text you, child of Loki, for several reasons. First and foremost, because your father has ways of finding things out. Wouldn't you agree?
Alex's face mottled red, but she said nothing.
Now, the king continued, join the feast. I'll show you to your table.
And after that, I asked, how do we prove our worth? Utgard Loki's eyes gleamed in a way I definitely didn't like.
You entertain us with impressive feats. You best us in competition, or you die trying.
Chapter 40. Little Billy totally deserved it. The bowling alley breakfast of champions. Peanuts, lukewarm hot dogs, and stale corn chips drizzled in orange goop that bore no resemblance to cheese. The mead was flat and tasted of sweet and low. On the bright side, the portions were giant size. I hadn't eaten much since yesterday except for leftover falafel and chocolate. I courageously managed to eat. At each bowling lane, giants sat grouped by team, throwing food, cracking jokes, and boasting about their pin-destroying prowess. Sam, Hearthstone, Blitz, Alex, and I sat together on a wraparound plastic bench, picking through our food for the most edible bits and nervously surveying the crowd. Utgard Loki had insisted we trade our regular footwear for bowling shoes, all of which were too big and day-glow orange and pink. When Blitzen saw his, I thought he was going to go into anaphylactic shock. Alex, however, seemed to like them. At least we didn't have to wear matching team shirts. While we ate, we told Sam and Hearth what had happened to us in the woods. Sam shook her head in disgust. Magnus, you always get the easy stuff. I almost choked on a peanut. Easy? Hearth and I have been here for a day trying to stay alive. We've almost died 6 times. Hearth held up 7 fingers. Oh, right, Sam said. The thing with the toilets. Blitzen tucked his feet under the bench, no doubt to avoid looking at his hideous shoes. Then the giants give you guest rights? That was the first thing we asked for, Sam said. But these mountain Jotuns, they'll try to twist your words and kill you with kindness. Like those sisters we met in January, I said. The ones who offered to raise our seat to table height and then tried to smash us against the ceiling in it. Sam nodded. Yesterday, I asked for a drink. The bartender dropped me in a full beer mug. First, I'm Muslim. I don't drink alcohol. Second, the sides were so slippery I couldn't get out. If Hearth hadn't cracked the glass with a rune...
Had to watch everything we said, Hearth signed. I asked for a place to sleep. He shuddered. Almost mangled to death in ball return machine. Sam translated for Alex's sake.
Ouch, Alex winced. No wonder you guys look so bad. No offense.
That's not the worst of it, Sam said. Trying to do my prayers with Hearthstone keeping guard? Impossible. And the giants kept challenging us to rigged feats of skill.
Illusions, Hearthstone signed, circling his palms at us simultaneously to represent 2 shifting images. Nothing here is what it seems.
Yep, Blitz nodded gravely. Same with Tiny and his bowling bag. Utgard Loki and his people are infamous for their powers of illusion.
I glanced around, wondering how big the giants actually were and what they looked like without magic. Maybe the hideous bowling outfits were mirages meant to disorient us.
So how do you know what's an illusion and what's real?
Most importantly, Alex held up a tortilla chip soggy with orange goo. Can I pretend this is really a burrito from Anna's Taqueria?
We have to stay sharp, Sam warned. Last night, after we phrased the request very carefully, they finally gave us sleeping bags. But we had to prove our strength by spreading them out ourselves. We tried for about an hour. The bags wouldn't budge. Utgard Loki finally admitted they were made from curled shavings of titanium. The giants had a good laugh about that.
I shook my head. How is that even funny?
Hearth signed, "Tell about the cat."
Ugh, Sam agreed. Then there was the cat. As a favor before we got dinner, we were supposed to pick up Utgard Loki's cat and put it outside.
I glanced around, but I saw no cat.
It's around here somewhere, Sam assured me. Except we couldn't move it because the cat was actually a 13,000-pound African bush elephant. We weren't even aware until the giants told us later, after we'd tried for hours and missed dinner. They love to humiliate their guests by making them feel weak and puny.
It's working, Blitz muttered.
I imagine trying to pick up an elephant and not realizing it was an elephant. That was usually the sort of thing I would notice.
How do we combat something like that? I asked.
We're supposed to impress them in a bunch of contests? Sorry, there's not much I can do with titanium sleeping bags and African bush elephants.
Sam leaned across the table. Whatever you think is going on, just remember it's a ruse. Think outside the box. Do something unexpected. Break the rules.
Oh, Alex said. You mean like every other day in my life?
Then your experience should come in handy, Sam said. Also, that stuff Utgard Loki told us about trying to help? I don't believe a word.
Hello, guests.
For a big guy in a feather bowling shirt, the giant king was stealthy. Utgard Loki leaned over the railing behind our table, peering down at us, a corn dog in his hand.
We only have a minute or so, then the games must begin.
The games, Sam said. Like the ones we've been playing since yesterday?
Utgard Loki's eyes matched his eagle feather shirt. He had that bird of prey gaze, like he was about to swoop down and grab a rodent, or perhaps a small human for dinner.
Now, Samira, you have to understand. My liegemen are already upset that I invited you here. You must be good sports. Provide entertainment. Give us a great show. Prove that you're worthy. Don't expect any kindness from me during the contests. My men will turn on me if I show any preferential treatment.
So you're not much of a king, then, I noted. Utgard Loki sneered. For the benefit of his followers, he shouted,
Is that all you can eat, puny mortals? We have toddlers who can consume more nachos.
He pointed his corndog royal scepter at me and lowered his voice.
You know very little of leading, Magnus Chase. Kingship requires the right combination of iron and mead, fear and generosity. As great as I am at wielding magic, I cannot simply force my will upon my giants. They will always outnumber me. I must earn their respect every day. Now you must as well.
Alex leaned away from the king. If it's so dangerous for you, why would you help us get back Mjolnir?
I care nothing about Thor's hammer one way or the other. The Aesir have always relied too much on the fear it inspires. It is a mighty weapon, yes, but when Ragnarok comes, Thor will be outnumbered. The gods will die anyway. The hammer is a bluff, an illusion of overwhelming force. And believe a master sorcerer, the giant grinned, even the best illusions have their limits. What I care about is not the hammer. I want to stop Loki's plan.
Blitzen scratched his beard. To marry Sam and Thrym? You fear that alliance? Utgard Loki went into acting mode again, shouting for his audience.
Bah! These are the mightiest corndogs in Jotunheim! None are their equal!
He took a savage bite, then threw the empty stick over his shoulder.
Blitzen, son of Freya, use your head. Of course I fear an alliance. That ugly toad Thrym and his sister Thringa would love to lead Jotunheim into war. With a marriage alliance to Loki, and the hammer of Thor in his possession, Thrym would become Thane of Thanes.
Sam's eyes narrowed. With Thor's hammer in his possession? You mean, even if I went through with this wedding, which I won't, Thrym wouldn't give back Mjolnir?
Oh, wedding gifts will be exchanged, but perhaps not in the way you imagine.
Utgard Loki reached over and flicked the pommel of the Skofnung sword still slung across Sam's back.
Come, come, my friends. Before I can give you a solution, you must understand the problem. Do you truly not see Loki's goal?
From across the room, one of the giants bellowed,
Our king, what of the contest? Why are you flirting with those mortals?
More giants laughed and wolf whistled at us. Utgard Loki stood tall, grinning at his subjects as if this was all good fun.
Yes, of course. Ladies and Jotunmen, let us begin the entertainment.
He leered down at us.
Honored guests, with what amazing skills will you impress us?
All the giants turned toward us, obviously anxious to hear what manner of embarrassing failure we would choose. My chief talents were running away and eating falafel, but after a heavy meal of hot dogs and chemically engineered nachos, I doubted I could win a gold medal in either of those categories.
Don't be shy, Utgard Loki spread his arms. Who wants to go first? We want to see what you champions of the mortal realms can do. Will you outdrink us? Outrace us? Outwrestle us?
Samira stood. I said a silent prayer of thanks for fearless Valkyries. Even when I was a regular mortal student, I hated going first. The teacher always promised to go easier on the first volunteer or give extra credit. No thanks. It wasn't worth the extra anxiety. Sam took a deep breath and faced the crowd. I am handy with the axe, she said. Who would challenge me at axe throwing? The giants cheered and catcalled.
Well now, Utgard Loki looked delighted. That's a very small axe you have, Samira Alabas. But I'm sure you throw it with skill. Normally, I would name Bjorn Cleaveskull as our champion axe thrower. But I don't want you to feel too outmatched. How about you compete against Little Billy instead?
From a knot of giants at the far end of the alley, a curly-haired kid giant stood. He looked about 10 years old, his pudgy belly stuffed in a Where's Waldo striped shirt, yellow suspenders holding up his schoolboy knickers. He was also severely cross-eyed. As he walked toward us, he kept running into tables and tripping over bowling bags, much to the amusement of the other giants.
Billy is just learning to throw, Utgard Loki said. But he should be a good match for you.
Samira clenched her jaw. Fine, where are the targets? Utgard Loki snapped his fingers. At the far end of lanes 1 and 3, slots opened in the floor and flat wooden figures shot up, each painted with the likeness of Thor, with his wild red hair and flowing beard, and his face scrunched up the way he looked mid-fart.
3 throws each, Utgard Loki announced. Samira, would you like to begin?
Oh no, she said. Children first. Little Billy waddled toward the foul line. Next to him, another giant set down a leather bundle and opened it to reveal 3 tomahawks, each one almost as large as Billy. Billy struggled to lift the first axe. He squinted at the distant target. I had time to think, maybe Sam will be okay. Maybe Utgard Loki is going easy on her after all. Then, Billy burst into action. He tossed one axe after another, so fast I could barely follow his movements. When he was done, one hatchet was embedded in Thor's forehead, another in his chest, and a third in the Thunder God's mighty crotch. The giants cheered.
Not bad, Utgard Loki said. Now let us see if Samira, Pride of the Valkyries, can defeat a cross-eyed 10-year-old.
Next to me, Alex muttered, she's doomed.
Do we step in? Blitz worried.
Sam told us to think outside the box. I remembered her advice. Do something unexpected. I clasped my fingers around my pendant. I wondered if I should jump out of my seat, summon Jack, and cause a distraction by singing a duet of Love Never Felt So Good. Hearthstone saved me from that embarrassment by raising his fingers. Wait. Sam studied her opponent, Little Billy. She stared at the axes he planted in his target. Then she seemed to come to a conclusion. She stepped up to the foul line and raised her axe. The room went respectfully quiet. Or maybe our hosts were just taking a deep breath so they could laugh really hard when Sam failed. In one fluid movement, Sam turned and threw her axe right at Billy. The giants gasped. Little Billy's eyes went even more cross-eyed as he stared at the hatchet now sprouting from his forehead. He fell backward and crashed to the floor. The giants roared in outrage. Some rose and drew their weapons.
Hold! Utgard Loki bellowed. He glared at Sam. Explain yourself, Valkyrie. Why should we not kill you for what you just did?
Because, Sam said, it was the only way to win this contest. She sounded remarkably calm, considering what she'd done, and considering the number of giants now ready to rip her apart. She pointed at the corpse of Little Billy. This is no giant child. She announced it with all the authority of a TV detective. But I could see a bead of sweat trickling down from under the edge of her hijab. I could almost hear her thinking, please let me be right, please let me be right. The crowd of giants stared at the corpse of Little Billy. He continued to look like a dead, badly dressed giant child. I knew that at any moment the mob would charge Samira and we'd all have to flee for our lives. Then, slowly, the boy giant's form began to change. His flesh withered until he looked like one of Prince Galeer's Draugr. His leathery lips curled over his teeth. Yellow film covered his eyes. His fingernails lengthened into dirty scythes. Little zombie Billy struggled to his feet and pulled the axe out of his forehead. He hissed at Sam. A wave of pure terror swept through the room. Some giants dropped their drinks. Others fell to their knees and wept. My intestines tied themselves into a granny knot. Yes, Sam announced, her voice much smaller. As you can see, this is not Little Billy. This is fear, which strikes quickly and always hits its mark. The only way to conquer fear is to attack it head on. That's what I did. That's why I win the contest. Fear threw down Sam's axe in disgust. With one final terrifying hiss, he dissolved into white smoke and was gone. A collective sigh of relief spread through the room. Several giants hastened to the restrooms, probably to throw up or change their underpants. I whispered to Blitzen, how the heck did Sam know? How could that thing be fear? Blitzen's own eyes looked a bit jaundiced. I suppose she's met fear before. I've heard rumors that giants are on good terms with a lot of minor deities. Anger, hunger, disease. Supposedly, old age used to bowl with the Utgard Ultimates, though not well. But I never thought I'd meet fear in person. Alex shuddered. Hearthstone looked grim, but not surprised. I wondered if he and Sam had encountered other minor deities during their 24-hour ordeal. I was glad Sam had gone first and not me. With my luck, I would have been pitted against happiness and I would have had to whack it with my sword until it stopped smiling. Utgard Loki turned to Sam with a tiny glint of admiration in his eyes.
I suppose we will not kill you then, Samira Alabas. Since you did what was necessary to win, this round goes to you.
Sam's shoulders sagged with relief. Then we have proven ourselves? The contest is over?
Oh, not yet, the king's eyes widened. What about our four other guests? We must see if they are as skilled as you.
Chapter 41. When in doubt, turn into a biting insect. I was starting to hate the Utgard Bowling Ultimate Tournament. Hearthstone went next. He gestured to the arcade and, with me translating, challenged the Giants to bring forth their highest scorer at any game of the contestants' choosing. Hugo's Jotun Jammers team nominated a guy named Kyle, who marched over to the skee-ball lane and scored a perfect 1,000 points. While the Giants cheered, Hearthstone walked to the Starsky and Hutch pinball machine and put a red gold coin in the slot.
"Wait," Hugo protested. "That's not even the same game."
"It doesn't have to be," I said. Hearth said any game of the contestants' choosing, plural. Your guy chose skee-ball, Hearth chooses pinball. The Giants grumbled, but in the end they relented. Blitzen grinned at me.
"You're in for a treat, kid. Hearth is a wizard."
"I know that. No, I mean a pinball wizard." Hearthstone fired up the first ball. I didn't see him use any magic, but he quickly destroyed Kyle's score, which, granted, wasn't fair, since pinball scores go way higher than 1,000 points. Even after he'd passed 500 million, Hearth kept playing. He nudged the machine and hit the flippers with such intensity, I wondered if he was thinking of his father and all those coins he'd made Hearth collect for good deeds. On this machine, Hearth quickly became a make-believe billionaire.
"Enough!" Utgard Loki yelled, pulling the plug on the machine. "You've proved your skill. I think we can all agree that this deaf elf sure plays a mean pinball. Who's next?"
Blitzen challenged the Giants to a complete makeover. He promised he could turn any giant into someone more dashing and fashionable. The Giants unanimously elected a Jotun named Grum, who had apparently been sleeping under the bar and collecting grime and lint there for the past 40 years. I was pretty sure he was the minor deity, Bad Hygiene. Blitzen was not deterred. He whipped out his sewing implements and got to work. It took him a few hours to slap together new clothes from odds and ends in the bowling alley's gift shop. Then he took Grum into the bathroom for a proper spa treatment. When they emerged, Grum's eyebrows had been waxed. His beard and hair were trimmed neater than the most metrosexual hipsters. He wore a shimmery gold bowling shirt with Grum stitched across the front, along with silvery pants and matching bowling shoes. The giant ladies swooned. The giant dudes edged away from him, intimidated by his star power. Grum crawled back under the bar and started to snore.
"I can't fix bad habits," Blitz said.
"But you saw him. Did I beat the challenge or what?" There was a lot of muttering, but no one dared to argue. Even magically enhanced ugliness was no match for a dwarven degree in fashion design. Utgard Loki leaned toward me and murmured,
"You're doing very well. I'll have to make this last challenge really hard so you have a high chance of dying. That should solidify my liege men's respect."
"Wait, what?" The helpful king raised his hands to the crowd.
"Ladies and Jotun men, truly we have some interesting guests, but never fear, we will have our revenge. 2 guests remain. As fate would have it, that's the perfect number for a doubles bowling challenge. Since bowling is the reason we are here today, let's have our last 2 visitors face off against our defending champions from Tiny's Turkey Bowlers."
The Giants hollered and whooped. Tiny looked over at me and made the finger across the throat sign, which I was getting really tired of seeing.
"The winners will take the usual prize," Utgard Loki announced, "which is, of course, the losers' heads."
I glanced at Alex Fierro and realized we were now a team. "I suppose this is a bad time to tell you," Alex said. "I've never bowled." Our opponents from Tiny's Turkey Bowlers were brothers with the delightful names of Herg and Blurg. It was difficult to tell them apart. In addition to being identical twins, they wore matching gray shirts and football helmets, the latter probably to keep us from throwing axes at their faces. The only differences I could see were their bowling balls. Herg's was airbrushed with the face of Prince. Maybe he had provided the bar's playlist. His brother Blurg had a red ball with Kurt Cobain's face on it. Blurg kept looking back and forth between me and the ball like he was trying to imagine me without the choppy haircut.
"All right, my friends," Utgard Loki announced. "We'll be playing an abbreviated game of 3 frames.
Alex leaned toward me. "What's a frame?"
"Shh," I told her.
In fact, I was trying to remember the rules of bowling. It had been years since I'd played. There was an alley in Hotel Valhalla, but since the Inheriar did most everything to the death, I hadn't been anxious to check it out.
"A very simple contest," Utgard Loki continued. "Highest score wins. First team up, the insignificant mortals."
Nobody cheered as Alex and I walked to our ball return.
"What do you think?" Alex whispered.
"Basically," I said, "you're supposed to roll the ball down the lane and knock over the pins." She glared at me, her pale eye twice as bright and angry as her dark one.
I know that much. But we're supposed to break the rules, right? What's the illusion here? You think Herg and Blurg are minor gods? I glance back at Sam, Blitz, and Harth, who'd been forced to watch from behind the railing. Their expressions told me nothing I didn't already know. We were in serious trouble. I wrapped my fingers around my pendant and thought, "Hey, Jack, any advice?" Jack hummed sleepily, as he tends to do in pendant form. "No." "Thanks," I thought. "Huge assist from the magic sword."
"Insignificant mortals," Utgard Loki called. "Is there a problem? Do you wish to forfeit?"
"No," I said. "No, we're good." I took a deep breath. "Okay, Alex, we've got 3 frames, 3 rounds of play. Let's just see how the first frame goes. Maybe it'll give us some ideas. Watch how I bowl." That's a statement I never thought I would utter. Bowling was not one of my superpowers. Nevertheless, I stepped into the approach with my pink, fuzzy dice-themed bowling ball. Hey, it was the only one that fit my fingers. I tried to remember the pointers my shop teacher, Mr. Gent, had given us when we had our middle school orientation party at the Lucky Strike Lanes. I reached the line, aimed, and threw with all my inherent ye might. The ball rolled slowly, sluggishly, and stopped halfway down the lane. The giants howled with laughter. I retrieved the ball and walked back, my face burning. As I passed Alex, she grumbled, "Thanks, that was very instructive." I returned to my seat. Behind the railing, Sam looked grim. Hearthstone signed his most helpful advice, "Do better." Blitzen grinned and gave me 2 thumbs up, which made me wonder if he understood the rules of bowling. Alex came to the line. She did a granny roll, hefting the ball between her legs and chucking it down the lane. The dark blue sphere bounced once, twice, then rolled a little farther than mine had before toppling into the gutter. More laughter from the Jotun crowd. A few high-fived each other. Gold coins exchanged hands.
"Time for the turkey bowlers," Utgard Loki shouted. A roar of applause as Herg stepped to the next lane over.
"Hold up," I said. "Aren't they supposed to use the same lane as us?" Tiny pushed through the crowd, his eyes wide with mock innocence.
"Oh, but the king didn't say anything about that. He just said highest score wins. Go ahead, boys."
Herg threw Prince's head. It rolled straight down the middle at lightning speed and crashed into the pins with a sound like an exploding marimba. Giants cheered and pumped their fists. Herg turned, grinning behind the face mask of his helmet. He patted Blurg on the shoulder and they exchanged a few words. "I need to figure out what they're saying," Alex said. "I'll be back." "But..."
"I need to pee," Alex yelled.
Some of the giants frowned at this interruption, but generally when someone yells, "I need to pee," in a crowd, people let them go pee. The other options are not great. Alex disappeared into the little giant girl's room. Meanwhile, Blurg came to the approach. He hefted his Kurt Cobain ball and rolled it down the lane, Cobain's face flashing in and out of sight, saying, "Hello, hello, hello," until it crashed into the pins and sent them flying with lots of rocker spirit.
"Another strike," Tiny yelled.
Cheering and mead drinking all around, except among me and my friends. Blurg and Herg rendezvoused at the ball return, snickering and glancing in my direction. While the crowd was still celebrating and making new bets, Alex returned from the restroom.
"I have finished peeing," she announced.
She hurried over and grabbed my arm.
"I just heard Herg and Blurg talking," she whispered.
"How?"
"I eavesdropped. I do this thing where I turn into a horsefly."
"Oh." I glanced at Sam, who was frowning severely. "I'm familiar with the horsefly thing."
"Their lane is a normal bowling lane," Alex reported. "But ours? I don't know. I heard Herg say, 'Good luck to them hitting the White Mountains.'"
"The White Mountains," I repeated. "In New Hampshire?" Alex shrugged. "Unless they have White Mountains in Jotunheim, too. Either way, those aren't bowling pins." I squinted at the end of our lane, but the pins still looked like pins, not mountains. Then again, Little Billy hadn't looked like fear. Until he did. I shook my head. "How is it possible?"
"No clue," Alex said. "But if our bowling balls are rolling toward a mountain range on a different world, we'll never reach the end of the lane. We definitely won't be able to knock down any pins. How do we undo the hex?"
"Come on, insignificant mortals," Tiny yelled. "Stop stalling."
It was hard to think with a crowd of giants yelling at me.
I'm not sure, I told Alex. I need more time. Right now, the best thing I could think of is to sabotage their lane.
It was impulsive, I'll admit, but I charged the foul line and threw my pink dice bowling ball overhand with all my strength straight into Hergenberg's lane. The ball landed with such force, it cracked the hardwood floor, ricocheted backward into the crowd, and felled one of the spectators, who squawked like a startled chicken.
"Oh!" the onlookers yelled.
"What was that?"
Tiny bellowed.
"You brained Eustace!"
Utgard Loki scowled and rose from his throne.
"Tiny is right, mortal. You can't cross bowl. Once you've chosen a lane, you must stick to it."
"Nobody said that," I protested.
"Well, I'm saying it now. Continue the frame."
A giant in the audience rolled my dice ball back to me.
I looked at Alex, but I had no advice to offer her.
How do you bowl when your target is a distant mountain range? Alex muttered something under her breath. As she made her approach, she changed into a full-size grizzly bear. She waddled on her back legs, the bowling ball clutched in her front paws. She reached the foul line and came down on all fours, hurling the ball forward with 300 pounds of pure force. The ball almost made it to the first pin before stalling. A collective sigh of relief went up from the giants.
"Now it's our turn,"
Tiny rubbed his palms eagerly.
"Go on, boys."
"But boss," Herg said, "our lane has a big dent in it."
"Just move over a lane," Tiny said.
"Oh no," I said. "You heard the king. Once you've chosen a lane, you must stick to it." Tiny growled. Even the Elvis tattoo in his arm looked angry.
"Fine. Herg, Blurg, just do your best. You already have an unbeatable lead."
Herg and Blurg didn't look happy, but they bowled their second frame. They managed to avoid the dent in the lane, but both of them rolled gutter balls, adding no points to their score.
"That's all right," Tiny assured them.
He sneered at Alex and me.
"I was tempted to step on you two in the forest, but now I'm glad I didn't. Unless you bowl a perfect last frame, you can't even tie their score. Let's see what you've got, mortals. I can't wait to cut off your heads."
Chapter 42. Or you could just glow a lot. That works too. Some people like energy drinks. Me? I find that the threat of imminent beheading wakes me up just fine. Panicked, I looked back at my friends. Hearthstone signed F-R-E-Y. Yes, Hearth, I thought. He is my father. But how that helped me, I wasn't sure. It wasn't like the God of Summer was going to appear in a blaze of glory and knock down the White Mountains for me. He was the God of the outdoors. He wouldn't be caught dead in a bowling alley. An idea started trickling through my brain like maple syrup. Outdoors. The White Mountains. Frey's power. Sumabrander, Frey's sword, which could cut openings between the worlds. And something Utgard Loki had said earlier. Even the best illusions have their limits.
"Insignificant mortals," Utgard Loki called. "Do you forfeit?"
"No," I yelled. "Just a second."
"Do you need to pee?"
"No, I need to confer with my teammate before we are brutally decapitated." Utgard Loki shrugged.
"That seems fair. Proceed."
Alex leaned in. "Please tell me you have an idea. You said you've been to Bridal Veil Falls. You've gone camping in the White Mountains a lot?" "Yeah, sure." "Is there any way those bowling pins could actually be the White Mountains?" She frowned. "No, I can't believe anybody would be powerful enough to teleport an entire mountain range into a bowling alley." "I agree. My theory is, those pins are just bowling pins. The giants couldn't bring a mountain range into a bowling alley, but they can send our bowling balls out of the alley. There's some kind of portal between the worlds right in the middle of our lane. It's hidden by illusions or whatever, but it's sending our bowling balls to New Hampshire." Alex stared at the end of the lane. "Well, if that's the case, why did my ball come back in the ball return?" "I don't know. Maybe they loaded an identical ball into the ball return so you wouldn't notice." Alex gritted her teeth. "Those cheating main fritters. What do we do about it?" "You know the White Mountains," I said. "So do I. I want you to look down the lane and concentrate on seeing those mountains. If we both do it at the same time, we might be able to make the portal visible. And then, maybe, I can dispel it." "You mean by changing our perception?" Alex asked. "Sort of like the mind healing you did with Amir?" "I guess. I wish I had more confidence in my own plan. The way Alex described it made me sound like a new age guru." "But look, it would work better if I held your hand. And I can't promise I won't, you know, sense stuff about your life."
I could see her wavering, weighing the options.
So I can either lose my head or have you in my head, she grumbled. Tough choice.
She grabbed my hand. Let's do it. I studied the far end of the lane. I imagined a portal between us and the pins, a window looking out on the White Mountains. I remembered how excited I used to get on those weekend drives with my mom when she first spotted the mountains on the horizon.
Look, Magnus, we're getting close.
I drew on the power of Frey. Warmth radiated through me. My hand and Alex Fierro's began to steam. A brilliant gold light surrounded us both, like the midsummer sun burning away fog and destroying shadows. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw giants wincing and shielding their faces.
Stop that, Tiny cried. You're blinding us!
I stayed focused on the bowling pins. The light grew brighter. Random thoughts from Alex Fierro whisked through my mind. Her fatal fight with the wolves. A dark-haired man in tennis clothes towering over her, screaming that she should get out and stay out. A group of teenagers standing around 10-year-old Alex and kicking her, calling her a freak as she curled into a ball trying to protect herself, too panicked and terrified to shapeshift. Anger burned in my chest. I wasn't sure if it was my emotion or Alex's, but we'd both had enough of illusions and pretending.
There, Alex said.
In the middle of the lane, a shimmering rift appeared, like the ones Jack cut between the worlds. On the other side, in the distance, was the snow-marbled summit of Mount Washington. Then the portal burned away. The golden light faded around us, leaving a regular lane with bowling pins at the end, just as it had looked before. Alex pulled her hand away. She quickly wiped away a tear.
Did we do it?
I wasn't sure what to say.
Insignificant mortals! Utgard Loki interrupted. What was that? Do you always confer with each other by generating a blinding light?
Sorry, I yelled to the crowd. We're ready now. At least I hoped we were ready. Maybe we'd succeeded in burning away the illusion and closing the portal. Or maybe Utgard Loki was just allowing me to think I dispelled his trick. It could be an illusion within an illusion. I decided there was no point overtaxing my brain in the last few minutes it might be on my neck. I raised my bowling ball. I stepped to the foul line and rolled that stupid pink fuzzy dice ball straight down the middle. I have to tell you, the sound of the pins falling was the most beautiful thing I'd heard all day. Sorry, Prince, you were a close second. Blitzen screamed,
Strike!
Samir and Hearthstone hugged each other, which wasn't something either of them tended to do. Alex's eyes widened.
It worked?
It worked! I grinned at her. Now all you have to do is knock down all your pins and we tie. Do you have any shape-shifting form that could...
Oh, don't worry. Her wicked smile was 100% from her mother, Loki. I've got it covered.
She grew to immense size, her arms morphing into thick forelegs, her skin turning wrinkled gray, her nose elongating into a 20-foot trunk. Alex was now an African bush elephant. The one confused giant in the back of the room screamed,
She's a cat!
Alex picked up the bowling ball with her trunk. She stormed the foul line and hurled the ball, stomping with all her weight and shaking the entire alley. Not only did her bowling ball knock down the pins, the force of her stomping obliterated the pins in all 12 lanes, making Alex the first elephant in history, as far as I knew, to score a perfect 300, 12 strikes with only one throw. I may have jumped up and down and clapped like a 5-year-old girl who had just gotten a pony. What did I say about not judging? Sam, Hearth, and Blitz rushed us and tackled us in a big group hug while the crowd of giants looked on sourly. Herg and Blurg threw down their football helmets.
We can't beat that score, Herg wailed. Just take our heads. The mortals are cheaters, Tiny complained. First they shrunk my bag and insulted Elvis. Now they've dishonored the turkey bowlers.
The giants began to advance on us.
Hold! Utgard Loki raised his arms. This is still my bowling alley. And these competitors have won, squarely, if not fairly.
He turned to us.
The normal prize is yours. Would you like the severed heads of Herg and Blurg?
Alex and I looked at each other. We tacitly agreed that severed heads really wouldn't go with the decor in our hotel rooms. Utgard Loki, I said. All we want is the information you promised. The king faced the crowd. He spread his palms like, What you gonna do?
My friends! You must admit these mortals have spunk. As much as we tried to humiliate them, they humiliated us instead. And is there anything we mountain giants respect more than the ability to humiliate one's enemies?
The other giants murmured in reluctant agreement.
I wish to help them, Utgard Loki announced,
I believe they have proven their worth. How much time will you give me?
I didn't quite understand the question, but the giants muttered among themselves. Tiny stepped forward.
I say 5 minutes. All in favor?
Aye, shouted the crowd.
Utgard Loki bowed.
More than fair. Come, my guests, let's talk outside.
As he steered us through the bar and out the front doors, I said, what happens after 5 minutes?
Hmm?
Utgard Loki smiled.
Oh, then my liegemen are free to chase you down and kill you. You did humiliate them, after all.
Chapter 43.
You keep using the word help. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Utgard Loki escorted us around the back of the bowling alley. He led us down an icy path into a wide expanse of forest while I peppered him with questions like, chase us? Kill us? What? He just patted me on the shoulder and chuckled as if we were sharing a joke.
You all did well, he said as we walked. Normally, we have boring guests like Thor. I tell him, Thor, drink this mead. He just tries and tries. It doesn't even occur to him that the mead cup is connected to the ocean and he can't possibly drain it.
How do you connect a mead cup to the ocean? Sam asked. Wait, never mind. We have more important matters.
5 minutes?
I demanded again. The giant pounded me on the back like he was trying to dislodge something, perhaps my throat or my heart.
Ah, Magnus. I have to confess, when you threw that first frame, I got nervous. Then the second frame, well, sheer force never would have worked, but nice try. Alex, your ball almost reached the Taco Bell on I-93 south of Manchester.
Thanks, said Alex. That's what I was going for.
But then you two broke the illusion, Utgard Loki beamed. That was first-rate thinking, and of course, the elf's pinball skills, the dwarf's accessorizing, Sam hitting fear in the face with an axe. Well done, all around. It's going to be an honor slaughtering the four of you at Ragnarok.
Blitzen snorted.
The feeling is mutual. Now I think you owe us some information.
Yes, of course.
Utgard Loki changed form. Suddenly, the goat killer stood before us in his black furs, soot-smeared chainmail, and iron helm, his face covered by a sneering wolf faceplate. Could you lose the mask, I asked, please? Utgard Loki flipped up his visor. Underneath, his face looked the same as before, his dark eyes gleaming murderously.
Tell me, my friends, have you figured out Loki's true goal?
Hearthstone crossed one palm over the other, made his hands into fists, then pulled them apart as if ripping a sheet. Destroy. Utgard Loki chuckled.
Even I understood that sign. Yes, my pinball wizard. Loki wants to destroy his enemies, but that is not his primary concern at the moment.
He turned to Sam and Alex.
You two are his children. Surely you know.
Samira and Alex exchanged an uncomfortable look. They had a silent, very sibling-like conversation. Do you know? No, I thought you knew. I don't know, I thought you knew.
He led you to the White Sparrow, Utgard Loki prompted. Despite my best efforts, you went there. And?
There was no hammer, Blitzen said. Just a sword. A sword I hate very much.
Exactly.
The giant waited for us to put the pieces together. I always hated it when teachers did that. I wanted to scream, I don't like puzzles! Nevertheless, I saw where he was going. The idea had been forming in my head for a long time, I guess, but my subconscious had been trying to suppress it. I remember my vision of Loki lying in his cave, tied to pillars of rock with the hardened guts of his own murdered children. I remember the serpent dripping poison in his face and the way Loki had vowed, soon enough, Magnus. Loki wants his freedom, I said. Utgard Loki threw back his head and laughed.
We have a winner. Of course, Magnus Chase. That's what Loki has wanted for 1,000 years.
Samira raised her palm to push the thought away. No, that can't happen.
And yet, Utgard Loki said, strapped to your back is the very weapon that could free him, the Skofnung sword.
My necklace started to choke me, the pendant tugging its way across my collarbone as if trying to get closer to Sam. Jack must have woken up when he heard Skofnung. I yanked him back, which probably made me look like I had a flea in my shirt. This has never been about Thor's hammer, I realized. Loki is after the sword.
Utgard Loki shrugged. Well, the theft of the hammer was a good catalyst. I imagine Loki whispered in Thrym's ear, giving him the idea. After all, Thrym's grandfather once stole Thor's hammer and it didn't go so well.
Thrym and his sister have been aching for revenge against the Thunder God their entire lives.
Thrym's grandfather? I remembered the wording on the wedding invitation. Thrym, son of Thrym, son of Thrym.
Utgard-Loki waved aside my question.
You can ask Thor about it when you see him, which I'm sure will be very soon. The point is, Loki advised Thrym on the theft and set up a scenario in which a group of champions such as yourselves would have no choice but to try retrieving the hammer. And in the process, you might bring Loki what he really wants.
Wait. Alex cupped her hands as if wrestling a lump of clay on the wheel. We're bringing the sword to give to Thrym. How does that... The bride price. Sam suddenly looked sick. Oh, I'm such a fool.
Blitz scowled.
Granted, I'm a dwarf. I don't understand your patriarchal traditions. But isn't the bride price something you give to the groom?
Sam shook her head. I was so busy denying that this wedding would ever happen, pushing it out of my head, I didn't think about the old Norse wedding traditions.
Which are also Jotun traditions, Utgard-Loki agreed.
Hearthstone sniffed like he was dispelling something unpleasant from his nose. He spelled out, M-U-N-D-R.
Yes, the Mundr, Sam said. The old Norse term for bride price. It doesn't go to the groom, it goes to the father of the bride.
We stopped in the middle of the woods. Behind us, Utgard Lanes was barely visible, its neon sign washing the trunks of the trees with red and gold light.
You mean all this time, I said, with the Skofnung sword and the Skofnung stone, we've been running around collecting gifts for Loki?
The Giant King chuckled.
It is pretty funny, except for the fact that Loki wants to get free so he can kill everyone.
Sam leaned against the nearest tree. And the hammer, that's the morning gift?
Exactly, the giant agreed. The Morgan Gifu.
Alex tilted her head.
The what, Tofu?
Hearthstone signed. Gift to bride from groom. Only given after wedding is... His fingers failed him. Complete. Morning after.
I'm going to throw up, Samira said.
I translated Hearth's words for Alex.
So the hammer goes to you, Alex pointed to Sam. Hypothetically, if you were the bride, which you won't be, but only after the wedding night and... Yeah, I'm going to be sick too.
Oh, it gets worse, the giant said with a little too much glee. The morning gift belongs to the bride, but it's held in trust by the groom's family. Therefore, even if you go through with the marriage and get Thor's hammer back...
It just stays with Thrym, I said. The giants get a marriage alliance and the hammer.
And Loki gets the Skofnung sword. Sam swallowed hard.
No, this still doesn't make sense. Loki can't attend the wedding in the flesh. The best he can do is send a manifestation. His physical body will still be stuck in the cavern where he's imprisoned.
Which is impossible to find, Blitzen said. Impossible to access.
Utgard-Loki gave us a twisted smile.
Like the island of Lyngvi?
Unfortunately, Utgard-Loki had a point, and that made me want to join Sam at the throw-up tree. Fenris Wolf's place of imprisonment was supposed to be a closely kept secret among the gods, but that hadn't stopped us from having a small convention there back in January.
And the sword, Blitzen continued.
Why Skofnung? Why not Sumerbrander or some other magic weapon?
I'm not entirely sure,
Utgard-Loki admitted.
Nor am I sure how Loki would get the sword to his true location or use it. But I've heard Loki's bonds are quite hard to break, being iron-hardened guts, strong, sticky, and corrosive. They will dull any sword, even the sharpest. You could perhaps cut one bond with Sumerbrander, but after that the blade would be useless.
Jack's pendant buzzed unhappily.
Calm down, buddy, I thought. Nobody's going to make you cut iron-hardened guts.
Same with Skofnung, Blitzen cursed. Of course! The blade has a magical whetstone. It can be sharpened as many times as necessary. That's why Loki needed both sword and stone.
The Giant King slow clapped.
Ah, with only a little help you put it together. Well done.
Blitz and Hearth glanced at each other like, now that we've put it together, can we please take it apart again?
So we find another way to get the hammer, I said.
The giant snickered.
Good luck. It's buried somewhere 8 miles under the earth, where even Thor can't reach it.
The only way to retrieve it is to convince Thrym to do so.
Alex crossed her arms.
I've heard a lot of bad news from you, Giant. I still haven't heard anything I would call helpful.
Knowledge is always helpful, Utgard Loki said. But as I see it, there are two options going forward to thwart Loki. First option, I kill you all and take the Skofnung sword, thus preventing it from falling into Loki's hands.
Sam's hand crept to her axe.
I'm not liking option one, the giant shrugged.
Well, it's simple, effective, and relatively foolproof. It doesn't get you the hammer back, but as I said, I don't care about that. My main concern is keeping Loki in captivity. If he gets free, he starts Ragnarok right now, and I, for one, am not ready. We have ladies' night at the bowling alley on Friday. Doomsday would completely mess that up.
If you wanted to kill us, I said, you could have done it already.
Utgard Loki grinned.
I know! I've been on pins and needles. But, my tiny friends, there's a riskier option with a higher payoff. I was waiting to see if you were capable of pulling it off. After your performance in the contests, I think you are.
All those challenges, Sam said. You were testing us to see whether or not we were worth keeping alive?
Harstow made a few hand signs I decided not to translate, though the meaning seemed clear enough to Utgard Loki.
Now, pinball wizard, the giant said. No need to get testy. If I let you go, and if you can beat Loki at his own game, then I get the same rewards, plus the satisfaction of knowing the upstart god of mischief has been humiliated with my help. As I may have mentioned, we mountain giants love humiliating our enemies.
And for engineering that humiliation, Alex said, you gain respect from your followers.
Utgard Loki bowed modestly.
Maybe in the process you get Thor's hammer back. Maybe you don't. I don't really care. In my opinion, Thor's hammer is nothing but an Asgardian boondoggle, and you can tell Thor I said so.
I wouldn't, I said, even if I knew what that meant.
Make me proud, Utgard Loki said. Find a way to change the rules of Loki's game, the way you did today at our feast. Surely you can come up with a plan.
That's option two? Alex demanded. Do it yourself? That's the extent of your help?
Utgard Loki clasped his hands to his chest.
I'm hurt. I've given you a lot. Besides, our 5 minutes is up.
A boom reverberated through the woods, the sound of barroom doors being thrown open, followed by the roar of infuriated giants.
Hurry along now, little ones, Utgard Loki urged. Go find Thor and tell him what you've learned. If my liegemen catch you, well, I'm afraid they are big fans of option one.
Chapter 44. We are honored with runes and coupons. I'd been chased by Valkyries. I've been chased by elves with firearms. I've been chased by dwarves with a tank. Now, lucky me, I got to be chased by giants with giant bowling balls. One of these days I would love to exit a world without being pursued by an angry mob. Run! Blitz yelled, like this idea hadn't occurred to us. The five of us raced through the woods, jumping over fallen trees and tangled roots. Behind us, the giants grew with every step. One moment they were 12 feet tall, the next they were 20 feet tall. I felt like I was being pursued by a tidal wave. Their shadows overtook us, and I realized there was no hope. Blitzen bought us a few seconds. With a curse, he tossed the bag empty leather behind us and yelled, Password! The mob of giants abruptly found their path blocked by the appearance of Mount Bowling Bag, but they quickly grew tall enough to step right over it. Soon we would be trampled. Even Jack couldn't help against so many. Hearthstone sprinted ahead, frantically gesturing, Come on! He pointed to a tree with slender branches, clusters of red berries just ripening in their green foliage. The ground beneath was strewn with white flower petals. The tree definitely stood out among the huge pines of Jotunheim, but I didn't understand why Hearth was so anxious to die in that particular location. Then the trunk of the tree opened like a door. A lady stepped out and called, Here, my heroes! She had fine elfish features and long hair of red gold, rich and warm and lustrous. Her orange-red dress was clasped at the shoulder with a green and silver brooch. My first thought, it's a trap. My experience with Yggdrasil had given me a healthy fear of jumping through doorways and trees. Second thought, the lady looked like one of the dryad tree spirits my cousin Annabeth had described, though I didn't know what one would be doing in Jotunheim. Sam didn't hesitate. She sprinted after Hearthstone as the red-gold woman stretched out her hand and cried, Hurry, hurry! That also seemed like pretty obvious advice to me. The sky above turned midnight black. I glanced up and saw the yacht-sized sole of a giant's bowling shoe ready to stomp us flat. The red gold lady pulled Hearth inside the tree. Sam leaped through next, followed by Alex. Blitz was struggling with his shorter stride, so I grabbed him and jumped. Just as the giant's boot came down, the world was snuffed out in absolute silent darkness. I blinked. I seemed to be not dead. Blitzen was struggling to get out from under my arm, so I deduced he wasn't dead either. Suddenly, I was blinded by a dazzling light. Blitz grunted in alarm. I got him to his feet as he scrambled to put on his pith helmet. Only when he was safely covered up did I scan our surroundings. We stood in a lavish room that was definitely not a bowling alley. Above us, a nine-sided glass pyramid let in the daylight. Floor-to-ceiling windows surrounded the chamber, giving us a penthouse-level view over the rooftops of Asgard. In the distance, I can make out Valhalla's main dome. Hammered from 100,000 gold shields, it looked like the shell of the world's fanciest armadillo. The chamber we were in seemed to be an interior atrium. Ringing the circumference were nine trees, each like the one we'd stepped through in Jotunheim. In the center, in front of a raised dais, a fire crackled cheerfully and smokelessly in the hearth. And on the dais was a chair elaborately carved from white wood. The woman with the red gold hair climbed the steps and seated herself on the throne. Like her hair, everything about her was graceful, flowing, and bright. The movement of her dress reminded me of a field of red poppies swaying in a warm summer breeze. "Welcome, heroes," said the goddess. Oh yeah, spoiler alert, by this point I was pretty sure she was a goddess. Hearthstone rushed forward. He knelt at the foot of the throne. I hadn't seen him so awestruck since... well, ever. Not even when he was facing Odin himself. He fingerspelled S-I-F. "Yes, my dear Hearthstone," said the goddess. "I am Siv." Blitz scrambled to Hearth's side and also knelt. I wasn't much of a kneeler, but I gave the lady a bow and managed not to fall over in the process. Alex and Sam just stood there looking mildly disgruntled. "My lady," Sam said with obvious reluctance, "why have you brought us to Asgard?" Siv wrinkled her delicate nose. "Samira Alabas, the Valkyrie. And this one is Alex Fierro, the... new Inherye." Even Officers Sunspot and Wildflower would have approved of her look of distaste. "I saved your lives. Is that not cause to be grateful?" Blitz cleared his throat. "My lady, Sam just meant..." "I can speak for myself," Sam said. "Yes, I appreciate the rescue, but it was awfully convenient timing. Have you been watching us?" The goddess's eyes flashed like coins underwater. "Of course I have been watching you, Samira. But obviously I couldn't retrieve you until you had the information to help my husband." I looked around. "Your husband is Thor?" I couldn't imagine the Thunder God living in a place so clean and pretty, with an unbroken glass ceiling and windows. Siv seemed so refined, so graceful, so unlikely to fart or belch in public. "Yes, Magnus Chase," Siv spread her arms. "Welcome to our home, Bielskirnir, the renowned palace Brightcrack." All around us, a heavenly chorus sang, "Ah!" then shut off as abruptly as it had begun. Blitzen helped Hearthstone to his feet. I didn't know godly etiquette, but I guessed once the heavenly chorus sounded, you were allowed to get up. "The largest mansion in Asgard," Blitzen marveled. "I have heard stories of this place, and such a fine name, Bielskirnir." Another chorus rang out, "Bright crack?" Alex didn't even wait for the angels to finish before asking, "Do you live next door to Plumber's Crack?" Siv frowned. "I do not like this one. I may send it back to Jotunheim." "Call me it again," Alex snarled. "Just try." I put my arm in front of her like a guardrail, though I knew I was risking amputation by clay cutter. "Siv, so maybe you could tell us why we're here?" Siv's eyes settled on me. "Yes, of course, son of Frey. I've always liked Frey. He's quite handsome." She fluffed her hair. Somehow I got the feeling that by handsome, Siv meant likely to make my husband jealous. "As I said," she continued, "I am Thor's wife. That's all most people know about me, sadly, but I am also a goddess of the earth. It was a simple matter for me to track your movements across the nine worlds whenever you pass through a forest or tread on living grass or moss."
"Moss," I said.
"Yes, my dear. There is even a moss called Siv's hair, named after my luxurious golden locks."
She looked smug, though I wasn't sure I would be so excited about having a moss named after me.
Harth pointed at the trees around the courtyard and signed, R-O-W-A-N. Steve brightened.
You know much, Hearthstone. The Rowan is indeed my sacred tree. I can pass from one to another across the nine worlds, which is how I brought you to my palace. The Rowan is the source of so many blessings. Did you know my son Uller made the first bow and the first skis from Rowanwood? I was so proud.
Oh yeah, I recalled a conversation I'd once had with a goat in Jotunheim. It's depressing I can even use that sentence. Otis mentioned something about Uller. I didn't know he was Thor's son.
Siv put a finger to her lips. Actually, Uller is my son by my first husband. Thor is a little sensitive about that. This fact seemed to please her. But speaking of Rowan trees, I have a gift for our elfish sorcerer.
From the sleeves of her elegant dress, she brought out a leather pouch. Harth almost fell over. He made some wild hand gestures that didn't really mean anything, but seemed to convey the idea, gasp. Blitzen grabbed his arm to steady him. Is that a bag of runes, m'lady?
Steve smiled. That's correct, my well-dressed dwarven friend. Runes written on wood carry a very different power than runes written on stone. They are full of life, full of suppleness. Their magic is softer and more malleable, and Rowan is the best wood for runes.
She beckoned Harth forward. She pressed the leather pouch into his trembling hands.
You will need these in the struggle to come, she told him, but be warned, one rune is missing, just as with your other set. When any letter is absent, the entire language of magic is weakened. Someday, you will have to reclaim that symbol to reach your full potential. When you do, come see me again.
I remembered the inheritance rune Hearthstone had left behind on his brother's cairn. If Steve could jump through trees and telepathically communicate with Moss, I didn't understand why she couldn't just hand Hearthstone a new Othala. Then again, I wasn't a graduate of rune magic with the Allfather, a weekend seminar. Hearthstone bowed his head in gratitude. He stepped away from the dais, cradling his new pouch of power like it was a swaddled baby. Sam shifted, gripping her axe. She eyed Steve as if the goddess might be Little Billy in disguise.
Lady Steve, that's very kind. But you were going to tell us why you brought us here.
To help my husband, Steve said. I assume you now have the information necessary to find and retrieve his hammer.
I glanced at my friends, wondering if anyone had a diplomatic way of saying, sort of, kind of, not really.
Steve sighed with the slightest hint of disdain. Oh, yes, I see. First, you want to discuss the matter of payment.
I said, that wasn't really...
Just a moment.
Steve ran her fingers through her long hair like she was working a loom. Red-yellow strands fell into her lap and began weaving themselves into some sort of shape, like a 3D printer spitting out solid gold. I turned to Sam and whispered, Is she like Rapunzel? Sam arched her eyebrow.
Where do you think that fairy tale came from?
In moments, with no visible loss of integrity to Steve's hairdo, the goddess was holding a small golden trophy. She held it up proudly.
You'll each get one of these.
At the top of the trophy was a tiny golden replica of the hammer Mjolnir. On the pedestal at the bottom was engraved, Award of Valor for Retrieving Thor's Hammer. And in smaller letters I had to squint to read. Bearer is entitled to one free entree with purchase of an entree of equal value at participating Asgard restaurants. Blitzen made a squeak sound.
That's amazing! Such workmanship! How...
Steve smiled, obviously pleased.
Well, since my original hair was replaced with solid gold magical hair after that horrible trick Loki played on me,
her smile soured as she glanced at Alex and Sam.
One benefit is that I can weave my extra hair into any number of solid gold items. I am responsible for paying the house staff, including heroes such as yourselves, with tokens like this. Thor is so sweet. He appreciates my abilities so much he calls me his trophy wife.
I blinked. Wow.
I know, Steve actually blushed. At any rate, when your job is done, you'll each get a trophy.
Blitzen reached longingly for the sample.
A free entree at any participating restaurant?
I was afraid he might weep for joy.
Yes, dear, said the goddess. Now, how do you plan to retrieve the hammer?
Alex coughed. Actually...
Never mind, don't tell me.
Steve raised her hand like she wanted to block out Alex's face.
I prefer to leave details to the help.
The help? Alex said.
Yes. Now your first task will be tricky. Whatever news you have, you will need to deliver it to my husband. The elevator is just there. You'll find him in his... what does he call it? His man cave? Just be warned. He has been in a very bad mood. Sam drummed her fingers on the head of her axe. I don't suppose you could just give him a message for us? Steve's smile hardened. Why, no, I couldn't. Now run along, and try not to send Thor into a murderous rage. I don't have time to hire another group of heroes. Chapter 45. Pigtails have never looked so frightening. Steve sucks, Alex muttered as soon as the elevator doors closed. Maybe this isn't the time to say that, I suggested, when we're in her elevator.
If the legends are true, Blitz added, this mansion has over 600 floors. I'd rather not fall all the way to the basement.
Whatever, Alex grumbled. Also, what kind of name is Brightcrack? A 2-second chorus of heavenly bliss sounded from the overhead speakers.
It's a Kenning, Blitzen said. You know, like Blood River for the Skofnung sword guy. Brightcrack, is just a poetic way of saying lightning, since Thor's the thunder god and all.
Humph, said Alex. There's nothing poetic about Brightcrack. Since getting his new rune bag, Hearthstone had been even more withdrawn than usual. He leaned in the corner of the elevator, tugging at the string on the leather pouch. I tried to get his attention to ask if he was okay, but he wouldn't meet my eyes. As for Sam, she kept running her fingertips down the edge of her axe as if she anticipated using it soon. You don't like Steve either, I noted. Sam shrugged. Why should I? She's a vain goddess. I don't often agree with my father's pranks, but cutting off Steve's original golden hair? That I understood. He was making a point. She cares about her appearance above everything else. The ability to weave things with her new precious metal hair, the whole thing about her being a trophy wife? I'm sure my dad planned that too. It's his idea of a joke. Steve and Thor are just too dense to pick up on it. Hearthstone apparently caught that. He stuffed the rune bag into his pocket and signed, Steve is wise and good, goddess of growing things. You, he pointed at Sam, then made two okay signs with his hands, flicking one across the other as if tearing a piece of paper, the sign for unfair. Hey, elf, Alex said. I'm guessing at your meaning, but if you're defending Steve, I gotta say I'm with Samira on this one. Thank you, said Sam. Hearthstone scowled and crossed his arms, the deaf equivalent of, I can't even talk to you right now. Blitz grunted. Well, I think you're nuts to be bad-mouthing Thor's wife in Thor's own house when we're about to see... Ding! The elevator door slid open. Holy man cave, I said. We stepped out of the elevator into a sort of garage area. Suspended on a hydraulic lift was Thor's chariot, the wheels off, and what looked like a broken transaxle hanging from the undercarriage. Lining a pegboard against one wall were dozens of wrenches, saws, screwdrivers, and rubber mallets. I briefly considered picking up one of the mallets and yelling, I found your hammer! But I thought the joke might not go over well. Past the garage area, the basement opened up into a full-fledged man cavern. Stalactites hung from the ceiling high above, filling the room with a Nidavellir-like glow. The back half of the cave was an IMAX theater with two full-size screens and a line of smaller plasma monitors across the bottom, so Thor could watch two feature films while keeping track of a dozen different sporting events. Because, you know, relaxing. The theater chairs were leather and fur recliners fitted with drink tables fashioned from moose antlers. To our left was a galley kitchen. 5 stainless steel Sub-Zero refrigerators, an oven, 3 microwaves, a row of high-end blenders, and a butchering station that was probably not his goat's favorite place. At the end of a short hallway, a stuffed ram's head pointed the way to the restrooms with a placard hanging from either horn. Valkyries to the right, berserkers to the left. The right half of the cavern was mostly arcade games, pretty much the last thing I wanted to see after Utgard Lanes. Fortunately, there was no bowling alley. Judging from the oversized table that took place of honor in the middle of the cave, Thor was more of an air hockey man. The place was so huge I didn't even see Thor until he marched out from behind the Dance Dance Revolution machine. He looked lost in thought, pacing and muttering while knocking 2 air hockey paddles together as if preparing to defibrillate someone's heart. Behind him trailed his goats, Otis and Marvin, but they weren't very nimble on their hooves.
Every time Thor turned, he collided with them and had to shove them out of the way.
"Hammers," he was grumbling. "Stupid, stupid hammers! Hammers!"
Finally, he noticed us.
"Aha!"
He stormed over, his eyes bloodshot and furious, his face as red as his bushy beard. His battle armor consisted of a ragged Metallica t-shirt and gym shorts that showed off his pale, hairy legs. His bare feet were in dire need of a gentleman's pedicure. For some reason, his scraggly scarlet hair was in pigtails, but on Thor, the look was more terrifying than funny. It was almost as if he wanted us to know, "I can wear my hair like a 6-year-old girl and still murder you."
"What news?" he demanded.
"Hey, Thor," I said in a voice about as manly as his pigtails. Sumabrander has something to tell you." I pulled off my pendant and summoned Jack. Was it cowardly of me to hide behind a magical talking sword? I prefer to think of it as strategically wise. I wouldn't be able to do Thor any favors if he smashed my face in with an air hockey paddle.
"Hi, Thor," Jack glowed cheerfully. "Hi, goats."
"Ooh, air hockey.
Sweet chill pad, Thunderman."
Thor scratched his beard with the paddle. The name of his son Modi was tattooed in blue across his knuckles. I really hope they didn't get a closer look at that name.
"Yes, yes, hello, Sumabrander," Thor grumbled. "But where is my hammer? Where is Mjolnir?"
"Oh." Jack glowed a darker shade of orange. He wasn't able to glare, but he definitely turned a sharp edge in my direction.
"So, good news on that front. We know who has the hammer, and we know where he is keeping it." "Excellent."
Jack hovered back a few inches. "But there is some bad news." Otis sighed to his brother Marvin.
"I have a feeling we're about to be killed."
"Stop that," Marvin snapped. "Don't give the boss ideas."
"The hammer was stolen by a giant named Thrym," Jack continued. "He buried it 8 miles under the earth." "Not excellent."
Thor smashed his air hockey paddles together. Thunder rolled through the room. Plasma screen TVs toppled. Microwaves flickered. The goats stumbled back and forth like they were on the deck of a ship.
"I hate Thrym," the god roared. "I hate Earth Giants."
"So do we," Jack agreed. "And here's Magnus to tell you about our brilliant plan to get the hammer back." Jack flew behind me and hovered there with great strategic wisdom. Otis and Marvin backed away from their master and hid behind the Dance Dance Revolution machine. At least Alex, Sam, Blitz, and Hearth didn't hide, but Alex gave me a look like, "Hey, he's your thunder god." So I told Thor the whole story. How we'd been tricked into going to the White's tomb for the Skofnung sword, then we'd rushed to Alfheim for the Skofnung stone. We'd climbed the Bifrost for a selfie with Heimdall, and we'd gone bowling for information with Utgard Loki. I explained about Thrym's demands for a marriage alliance with Loki. Every so often I had to pause so Thor could process the news by storming around, throwing power tools, and punching the walls. He needed a lot of processing time. When I was done, Thor announced his well-reasoned conclusion.
"We must kill them all!"
Blitz raised his hand.
Mr. Thor, even if we could get you close enough to Thrym, killing him wouldn't help. He's the only one who knows exactly where the hammer is."
"So we torture him for the information, and then kill him. Then I will retrieve the hammer myself."
Alex muttered, "Nice guy."
"Sir," Sam said, "even if we did that, and torture isn't very effective or, you know, ethical, even if Thrym told you exactly where the hammer was, how would you get it back from 8 miles under the earth?"
"I would break through the earth with my hammer."
We waited for Thor's mental gears to turn.
"Oh," said the god. "I see the problem. Curses! Follow me!"
He marched into the garage, tossed aside his hockey paddles, and started rummaging through his tools.
"There must be something in here that can drill through 8 miles of solid rock."
He considered a hand drill, a tape measure, a corkscrew, and the iron staff we'd almost died retrieving from Garrod's fortress. He threw them all to the floor.
"Nothing," he said in disgust. "Useless junk."
"Perhaps you could use your head," Hearthstone signed. "That is very hard."
"Oh, don't try to console me, Mr. Elf," said Thor. "It's hopeless, isn't it? You have to have hammers to get hammers, and this..."
He picked up a rubber mallet and sighed.
"This won't do. I'm ruined. All the giants will soon know I'm defenseless. They'll invade Midgard, destroy the television industry, and I will never be able to watch my shows again."
"There might be a way to get the hammer." The words came out of my mouth before I considered what I was saying. Thor's eyes lit up.
"You have a large bomb?"
No.
But Thrym is expecting to marry someone tomorrow, right? We can pretend to go along with it and...
Forget it, Thor growled. I know what you're going to suggest. There's no way. Thrym's grandfather humiliated me enough when he stole my hammer. I will not do that again.
Do what? I asked.
Wear a wedding dress, Thor said. Pretend to be the giant's bride, Freya, who refused to marry Thrym. Selfish woman. I was disgraced, humiliated, and... What are you smirking about?
This last comment was directed at Alex, who quickly put on her serious face.
Nothing, she said. Just...
You in a wedding dress.
Hovering behind my shoulder, Jack whispered, He looked amazing.
Thor grunted.
It was all Loki's idea, of course. It worked. I infiltrated the wedding, got my hammer back, and killed the giants. Well, except for those little kids, Thrym the Third and Thringa. But when I got back to Asgard, Loki told the story so many times he made me a laughingstock. No one took me seriously for ages.
Thor frowned as if he'd just had a thought, which must have been a painful experience.
You know, I bet that was Loki's plan all along. I bet he arranged the theft and the solution to make me look bad.
That's terrible, Alex said. What was your bridal dress like?
Oh, it was white with a high lace applique neckline and these lovely scalloped...
Thor's beard sparked with electricity.
That's not important!
Anyway, I stepped in. This Thrym the Third or whatever, he's expecting you to try that trick again. He's got some kind of security precautions in place. No gods are getting through the front door unnoticed. We'll need a different bride.
Well, that's a relief, he grinned at Samira. And I do thank you for stepping up, girl. I'm glad you're not as selfish as Freya. I owe you a gift. I'll have Siv make you a trophy. Or perhaps you'd like a Hot Pocket. I have some in the freezer.
No, Lord Thor, Sam said. I'm not marrying a giant for you.
Thor winked slyly. Right. You're only pretending to marry him. Then once he brings out the hammer...
I'm not even pretending, Sam said.
I am, Alex said.
Chapter 46. Here comes the bride and or the assassin. Alex knew how to get our attention. Hearth and Blitz gawped at her. Jack gasped and glowed bright yellow. Thor's eyebrows furrowed, sparking like jumper cables. Even the goats trotted over to get a closer look at the crazy girl.
What? Alex demanded. Sam and I discussed it. She vowed to Ymir that she wouldn't even fake marry this giant, right? The charade doesn't bother me at all. I'll dress up, say the vows, kill my new husband, whatever. Sam and I are close to the same size. We're both children of Loki. She can pose as my maid of honor. It's our best option.
I stared at Sam. That's what you and Alex have been talking about? Samira fingered the keys on her belt ring.
Alex thinks she can resist Loki, unlike what happened to me in Provincetown.
It was the first time she talked about the incident so openly. I remembered Loki snapping his fingers, Sam collapsing in a heap, all the air expelled from her lungs. Sam was a Valkyrie. She had the strongest willpower and discipline of anyone I knew, if she couldn't resist Loki's control.
Alex, are you sure? I tried not to let doubt creep into my voice. I mean, have you ever tried to resist Loki before?
Alex's expression hardened. What is that supposed to mean?
No, I said hastily. I just... The larger point, Thor butted in, is that you're not even a proper girl. You're an Argur.
The air became still, like the moment before a thunderclap. I wasn't sure which possibility scared me more, Thor attacking Alex or Alex attacking Thor. The look in her eyes made me wonder if we shouldn't just put her on the borders of Jotunheim to scare away the giants rather than bothering with Thor and his hammer.
I'm a child of Loki, she said in an even tone. That's what Thrym is expecting. Like my parent, I'm gender fluid. And when I'm female, I am female. I can definitely pull off a lace applique wedding gown better than you.
Thor fumed.
Well, there's no need to be mean about it.
Besides, Alex said, I will not let Loki control me. I never have, I never will. I also don't see anyone else volunteering for this suicidal bridal mission.
Suicidal bridal, Jack said. Hey, that rhymes.
Otis clopped forward and sighed. Well, if you need a volunteer to die, I suppose I can do it. I've always loved weddings.
Shut up, dummy, Marvin said. You're a goat.
Thor picked up his iron staff.
He leaned against it thoughtfully, tapping his fingers and making different images flicker across the surface. A soccer match, the home shopping network, Gilligan's Island.
Well, he said at last, I still don't trust an Arger to do this job.
A gender-fluid person, Alex corrected.
A gender... whatever you said, Thor amended. But I suppose, respect-wise, you have the least to lose.
Alex bared her teeth.
I get now why Loki loves you so much.
Guys, I said, we have other problems to discuss, and not much time. Thrym is expecting his bride to arrive tomorrow. Alex folded her arms.
It's decided, then. I get to marry the big ugly guy.
Yes, you marry him, Hearthstone signed. Many happy years and fine children. Alex narrowed her eyes.
I can see I'm going to have to learn sign language. In the meantime, I will assume you said, yes, Alex. Thank you, Alex, for being so brave and heroic.
Close enough, Hearth signed. I still wasn't loving the idea of Alex as a decoy bride, but I figured I'd better move things along. Keeping this group focused was like driving a chariot with no goats and a broken transaxle. So anyway, I said, we have to assume we can't sneak Thor in with the wedding party.
And he can't simply bust into an Earth Giant's lair, Blitz added.
Thor harrumphed.
I've tried, believe me. The stupid giants are buried too deep and rock too dense.
You're an expert on density, Alex guessed.
I gave her a shut-up look. So we have to use the front door. I'm guessing they won't tell us where that is until the last minute to avoid an ambush or unwelcome tag-alongs.
What does the invitation say? Sam asked.
I took it out and showed them. The time slot now read, tomorrow morning. The location slot still said, we'll get back to you.
That's okay, I said.
I think I may know where the entrance will appear. I explained to Thor about the photo of Bridal Veil Falls. The Thunder God did not look overjoyed.
So either you're wrong, and this is a random photograph, or you're right, and you're choosing to believe information from your treacherous uncle?
Well, yeah. But if it is the entrance...
I could scout it out, Thor said. I could have a team of gods in place, undercover, ready to follow the wedding party inside all stealthy-like.
A team of gods sounds excellent, I agreed.
Depending on the gods, Blitz murmured.
We also have some Inheriar standing by, Sam suggested. Good warriors. Trustworthy.
She said trustworthy like it was a word Thor might not have heard before. Thor twirled one of his pigtails.
I suppose this could work. And once Thrym summons the hammer...
If he summons it, Alex said. He's using it as the, morning after gift.
Thor looked aghast.
Regardless, he must summon it for the ceremony. The bride has the right to insist. The symbol of my hammer is always used to bless a wedding. If Thrym has the real thing, he must use it if you request it. And once he does, we'll move in and kill everyone.
Except us, Hearthstone said.
Exactly, Mr. Elf. It will be a glorious bloodbath.
Lord Thor, Sam said, how will you know when the time is right to charge in?
That's easy.
He turned and patted Marvin's and Otis's heads.
You'll ride my chariot into the wedding hall. That's a common enough practice for lords and ladies. With a little concentration, I can see and hear what my goats see and hear.
Yes, Otis said. It gives me a tingling feeling right behind my eyeballs.
Be quiet, Marvin said. Nobody wants to hear about your tingling eyeballs.
When the hammer appears, Thor grinned evilly, we move in. Gods and Inheriar, we slaughter the giants and all will be well. I feel better already.
Yay! Jack cheered, clinking against Thor's staff in a high five. Or a high just one. Smear raised her index finger like, one moment.
There's something else. Loki wants the Skofnung sword so he can cut himself free. How do we make sure he doesn't get it?
That will never happen, Thor said. Loki's place of punishment is in a completely different location, sealed long ago by the gods. Loki is bound even better than Fenris Wolf.
And we saw how well that worked out, Hearth signed.
The elf speaks wisely, Thor agreed. There is nothing to worry about. Loki can't be at the wedding in the flesh. Even if Thrym gets hold of the Skofnung sword, he won't have time to find Loki or free him, not before we swoop in and kill the big oaf.
Thor swung his iron staff to demonstrate his ninja moves. His left pigtail came loose in the process, which only added to the intimidating effect. A cold feeling spread through my gut.
I don't know about this plan. It still feels like we're missing something important.
My hammer, Thor said.
But we'll get that back soon enough.
Mr. Elf and Mr. Dwarf, why don't you go to Valhalla and alert the Inheriar?
Sir, we would. Blitz adjusted his pith helmet. But we're not technically allowed in Valhalla. Not being, you know, dead.
I can fix that.
Don't kill us, Blitz yelped.
Thor just rummaged around his work table until he found a 2x4 with a key attached to one end. Burned into the side of the plank were the words, Thor's Hall Pass.
This will get you into Valhalla, he promised. Just return it. I'm going to fix this chariot so our gender Augur Bride can use it tomorrow. Then I'll gather my assault squad and scout out this location, Bridal Veil Falls.
And the rest of us? I asked reluctantly.
You and the 2 children of Loki will be our guests tonight, Thor announced. Go see Sieve upstairs and she will get you settled. In the morning, you will ride forth to a glorious matrimonial massacre.
Oh, Otis said with a sigh, I do love weddings.
Chapter 47. I prepare for Funky Town combat. The night before a big massacre, you might think I would toss and turn. Nope, I slept like a rock giant. Sieve gave each of us a guest room in the upper levels of Bright Crack. I collapsed on my rowanwood bed with its sheets of woven gold and didn't stir until the next morning when I heard the alarm clock, a small gold Mjolnir trophy that wouldn't stop singing a divine chorus of "Ah, ah, ah," until I grabbed it off the nightstand and threw it against the wall. I have to admit, that was a satisfying way to wake up. I don't think Sam and Alex slept quite as well. When I met them in Sieve's atrium, they both looked bleary-eyed. In Alex's lap was a plate of what used to be donuts. She had broken them into pieces to make a frowny face. Her fingers were caked in powdered sugar. Sam held a cup of coffee to her lips as if she liked the smell but couldn't remember how to drink. The Skofnung sword was slung across her back. She looked up at me and asked, "Where?" At first, I didn't understand the question. Then I realized she was asking if I knew where we were going today. I fumbled through my pockets for the wedding invitation. The wind space now read, "Today, at 10 a.m., are you excited?" The where space read, "Proceed to the Taco Bell on I-93, south of Manchester, New Hampshire. Await further instructions. No ace here or the hammer gets it." I showed this to Alex and Sam.
"Taco Bell?" Alex grumbled. "Those monsters."
"Something's not right." Sam took a sip of coffee. The cup trembled in her hands. "Magnus, all night I was thinking about what you said. We are missing something important, and I don't mean the hammer."
"Perhaps," said the voice of our hostess, "you're missing the appropriate clothes."
Before us stood Sieve, having appeared out of nowhere, as goddesses tend to do. She wore the same red-orange dress, the same green and silver brooch, and the same pained smile that said, "I think you're my house servants, but I don't remember your names."
"My husband tells me you want to play dress-up."
She gave Alex an up-and-down look.
"I suppose it will be easier than putting Thor in a wedding dress, but we have a lot of work to do. Come along."
She strolled toward a hallway at the back of the atrium, crooking a finger over her shoulder for Alex to follow.
"If I'm not back in an hour," Alex said, "it means I have strangled Sieve and am hiding the body."
Her expression gave absolutely no indication she was kidding. She sashayed off, doing such a good imitation of Sieve's walk that it would have given her a trophy. Sam rose. Coffee cup in hand, she walked to the nearest window. She stared across the rooftops of Asgard. Her eyes seemed to fix on the shield-thatched golden dome of Valhalla.
"Alex isn't ready," she said.
I joined her at the window. A wisp of dark hair had escaped the edge of her hijab by her left temple. I had a protective urge to tuck it back in. Since I valued my hand, I didn't.
"Do you think she's right?" I asked. "Can she, you know, resist your dad?"
"She thinks she's right," Sam said.
"She has some theory about claiming her own powers, not letting Loki possess her. She even volunteered to teach me, but I don't think she's ever tested herself against our father. Not really." I thought about my conversation with Alex in the woods of Jotunheim, how confidently she had talked about using the image of the Urnis snakes for herself, stepping out of her parents' poisonous shadow. It was a nice idea. Unfortunately, I'd seen how easily Loki could manipulate people. I'd seen what he'd done to my Uncle Randolph. "At least we won't be alone," I gazed at Valhalla in the distance. For the first time, I felt a twinge of homesickness for the place. I hoped Blitz and Hearth had gotten there safely. I imagined them with the gang from Floor 19, preparing their weapons and suiting up in wedding attire for a daring raid that would save our butts. As for Thor, I didn't have much faith in him. But with luck,
He and a bunch of other Aesir would be dug in around Bridal Veil Falls, dressed in camouflage with high-powered hand catapults or rocket spears or whatever other weapons god commandos were wielding these days. Sam shook her head. Help or no, Alex doesn't know what it was like in that White's tomb. She's not fully aware of what Loki is capable of, how easily he can just... She snapped her fingers. I wasn't sure what to say. It's okay, you couldn't help it, didn't seem useful. Sam sipped her coffee. I should be the one in the wedding dress. I'm a Valkyrie. I have powers Alex doesn't have. I have more experience fighting. You made a promise to Amir. You have lines you can't cross. That's not a weakness. It's one of your strengths. She studied my face, maybe judging how serious I was. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a strength. After what happened in that tomb in Provincetown, I said, knowing what Loki could do and not knowing whether you can resist him, you're still going right back in to fight him. You ask me, that's way above Valhalla-level courage. She set down her cup on the windowsill. Thanks, Magnus. But today, if you have to choose... If Loki tries to use Alex and me as hostages, or... Sam, no. Whatever he is planning, Magnus, you have to stop him. If we're incapacitated, you may be the only one who can. She shrugged off the Skofnung sword and handed it to me. Keep this. Don't let it out of your sight. Even in the morning light of Asgard, in the warmth of Siv's atrium, the sword's leather sheath felt as cold as a freezer door. The Skofnung stone was now strapped to the pommel. When I slung the sword across my back, the stone dug against my shoulder blade. Sam, it won't come down to a choice. I'm not letting Loki kill my friends. I'm definitely not letting him near this sword. Unless he wants to eat the blade. I'm fine with that. The corner of Sam's mouth twitched. I'm glad you'll be at my side for this, Magnus. I hope someday, when I have my actual wedding, you'll be there too. That was the nicest thing anybody had said to me in a while. Of course, given how messed up my last few days had been, maybe that wasn't a surprise. I will be there, I promised. And it won't just be for the awesome catering from Fablon's Falafel. She swatted my shoulder, which I took as a compliment. Usually she avoided any sort of physical contact. I guess whacking a stupid friend occasionally was permissible. For a while, we watched the sun rise over Asgard. We were a long way up, but as with the time I'd seen Asgard from Valhalla, I spotted no one stirring in the streets. I wondered about all the dark windows and silent courtyards, the untended gardens left to grow wild. Which gods had lived in those mansions? Where had they all gone? Maybe they'd gotten tired of the lax security and moved to a gated community where the Guardian didn't spend all his time taking celestial selfies. I'm not sure how long we waited for Alex, long enough for me to drink some coffee and eat a frowny face of broken donuts. Long enough for me to wonder why Alex was taking so long hiding Steve's body. Finally, the goddess and the bride-to-be emerged from the hall. All the moisture evaporated from my mouth. Electricity jumped from pore to pore across my scalp. Alex's white silk gown glowed with gold embroidery, from the tassels on her sleeves to the serpentine curls along the hem that swept her feet. A necklace of golden arcs curved at the base of her neck like an inverted rainbow. Pinned to her black and green ringlets was a white veil, pushed back to show her face, her two-toned eyes lined with delicate mascara, her lips colored a warm shade of red. Sister, Sam said, you look amazing. I was glad she said it. My tongue was curled up like a titanium sleeping bag. Alex scowled at me. Magnus, could you please stop staring at me as if I'm going to murder you? I wasn't. Because if you don't, I will murder you. Right. It was difficult to look elsewhere, but I tried. Siv had a smug glint in her eyes. Judging from the reaction of our male test subject, I think my work here is done. Except for one thing. From around her own waist, the goddess pulled a long strand of gold so thin and delicate I could hardly see it. On each end was a golden handle in the shape of an S. A garrote, I realized, like Alex's, except in gold. Siv fastened it around Alex's waist, buckling the S's together so they formed the Urnus snakes. There, Siv said. This weapon, fashioned from my own hair, has the same properties as your other garrote, except that it goes with your outfit, and it is not from Loki. May it serve you well, Alex Fierro. Alex looked like she'd been offered a trophy, entitling the bearer to pretty much everything. I don't know how to thank you, Siv. The goddess inclined her head. Perhaps we can both try harder not to judge based on first impressions, eh? Yeah, agreed. And if you get a chance, Siv added.
Strangling your father with a garrote made from my magical hair would seem quite appropriate.
Alex curtsied.
The goddess turned to Sam. Now, my dear, let us see what we can do for the maid of honor.
After Steve had escorted Samira down the hall of magical makeovers, I turned to Alex, trying my best not to gawk. My tongue started to roll up again. What did you say to Steve? She seems to like you now.
I can be very charming, Alex said. And don't worry, it'll be your turn soon.
To be charming?
That would be impossible. Alex wrinkled her nose in a very Steve-like way. But at least you can get cleaned up. I need my chaperone to look much spiffier.
I'm not sure I managed spiffy. More like iffy. While Samira was still getting dressed, Steve came back and guided me to the gentleman's fitting room. Why the goddess even had a gentleman's fitting room, I wasn't sure, but I guess Thor didn't spend a lot of time there. It was completely devoid of gym shorts and Metallica t-shirts. Steve outfitted me with a gold and white tuxedo, the inside lining made from chainmail a la Blitzen. Jack hovered nearby, humming with excitement. He especially liked the woven gold Steve hair bow tie and the frilly shirt.
Oh, yeah, he exclaimed. All you need now is the right runestone on this studly outfit.
I'd never seen him so eager to turn into a silent pendant. The rune of Frey took its place just below my bow tie, nestled in the frills like a stone Easter egg. With the Skofnung sword strapped to my back, I looked like I was ready to boogie down while stabbing my closest relatives. Sadly, that was probably accurate. As soon as I got back to the atrium, Alex doubled over with laughter. There was something deeply humiliating about being laughed at by a girl in a wedding dress, especially a girl who was rocking that wedding dress.
Oh my gods, she snorted. You look like you're on your way to a Vegas wedding in 1987.
In your own words, I said, shut up. She walked over and straightened my tie. Her eyes danced with amusement. She smelled like wood smoke. Why did she still smell like a campfire? She backed away and snorted again.
Yep, all better. Now we just need Sam. Oh, wow.
I followed her gaze. Samira had emerged from the hallway. She wore a green formal dress with black embroidery that was the mirror image of Alex's. Serpentine swirls from the sleeves all the way down to the hem. In place of her usual hijab, she wore a green silk hood with a bandit sort of veil across the bridge of her nose. Only her eyes were visible, and even those were deep in shadow.
You look great, I told her. Also, I loved you in Assassin's Creed.
Ha ha, Sam said. I see you're ready for the prom. Alex, have you tried your veil yet? With Sam's help, Alex drew the curtain of white gauze over her face. There was something ghostly about her in that veil, like she might start floating away at any moment. You could see that she had a face, but her features were completely obscured. If I didn't know better, I might have thought she was Sam. Only her hands gave her away. Alex's skin tone was a few shades lighter than Sam's. She fixed this by pulling on lace gloves. I really wished Blitzen were with us, because he would have loved all the fancy outfits.
My heroes.
Steve stood next to one of her rowan trees.
It is time.
The trunk of the tree split open, revealing a rift of purple light the exact color of a Taco Bell sign.
Where's the chariot?
Alex asked.
Waiting for you on the other side, Steve said. Go forth, my friends, and kill many giants.
Friends, I noted, not hired help. Maybe we'd really made an impression on the goddess. Or maybe she figured we were about to die, so a little kindness wouldn't hurt. Alex turned to me.
You first, Magnus. If there are any hostiles, your tux will blind them.
Sam laughed. Mostly to get the embarrassment over with, I walked through the rowan tree into a different world. Chapter 48. All aboard the Cheesy Gordita Express. The only thing hostile in the Taco Bell parking lot was Marvin, who was giving his brother, Otis, a thorough scolding.
Thanks a lot for getting us turned into Hot Pockets, you idiot, Marvin shouted. You know how badly you have to annoy Thor before he eats us in that form.
Oh, look, Otis pointed his horns in our direction. It's our passengers. He said the word passengers like executioners. I guess for Otis, those two words were often synonyms. Both goats were harnessed to their chariot, which was parallel parked next to the restaurant's drive-thru lane. Their collars were decked with golden bells that jingled cheerfully when Otis and Marvin shook their heads. The chariot box itself was garlanded in yellow and white flowers that didn't quite mask the lingering smell of sweaty thunder god.
Hey, guys, I told the goats. You look festive.
Yeah, Marvin grumbled.
I feel real festive. You know where we're going yet, human? The smell of Grande Scrambler burritos is making me sick.
I checked the invitation. The where line now said, proceed to Bridal Veil Falls. You only have 5 minutes. I read it twice just to make sure I wasn't imagining it. I'd guessed correctly. Uncle Randolph really might have been trying to help me. Now we had a chance at smuggling in some godly wedding crashers. On the other hand, there was no avoiding the wedding now. I'd won a lottery in which the grand prize was a one-way trip into an evil Earth Giant's lair of pickle jars, beer bottles, and death. I doubted he would even honor Steve's coupon trophies. I showed the invitation to the goats and the girls.
So you were right, Sam said. Maybe Thor...
Shh, warned Alex.
From this point on, I think we should assume Loki is watching and listening.
That was another cheerful thought. The goats looked around as if Loki might be hiding nearby, possibly disguised as a grande burrito.
Yeah, Marvin said a little too loudly. Maybe Thor would be sad because there's no way he can make it to Bridal Veil Falls with an assault team in only 5 minutes. Since we just got this information now and are at a huge disadvantage. Bummer!
His subterfuge skills were almost as refined as Otis's. I wondered if the two goats had matching trench coats, hats, and sunglasses.